In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when we read the Scriptures, if it's about the Jews, it's about us. The Scriptures obviously are mostly about the Jews, since the Old Testament is their story, and much of the New Testament as well. We make a great mistake if we think, when we read anything in the Scriptures, that it doesn't have application to us. The things the Jews did, they're the same kinds of things we do. Their weaknesses, their sins, their virtues, their vices, they're all on display. And ours are also. So we had best learn from their mistakes and also learn to emulate their virtues. It's always been a mystery to me why there has been anti-Semitism, or actually, really, it's usually anti-Judaism among some peoples. Because the Jews are only a well-documented people as far as their relation to God. If we were in their time, we would have had the same things happen to us, because their weaknesses are our weaknesses and their strengths are our strengths. So when we look at this parable today about the vineyard, it is about the Jews of that time especially, and about the fact that they were about to crucify Christ. They were about to reject Him, and the Lord gave sort of a summary of Jewish history in this parable. But this parable is also about us, because everything that is in the parable that relates to the Jews has its corollary to us, sometimes with slight changes. For instance, the wine press is the altar for the Jewish meaning of the parable, directed towards the Jews, where the sacrifice occurred. And of course, the wine press for us Christians is to partake of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But other than those small changes, it is the same story, and we had best learn by it. And even when you see terrible things happening in the Scriptures, such as Jewish women sacrificing their children to a foreign god, don't think that you are immune to such things, because we don't sacrifice our children only by giving them over to the ritual executioner. We also sacrifice our children by our own selfishness, or by our own false priorities, or by not teaching them, etc., etc. So everything in the Scriptures relates to you, not just to the Jews or to whatever people the Lord is speaking about at the time. The Lord says in the beginning of this reading, here another parable. Well, the parable before this was also about the Jews, one of my favorite ones, one that I believe everyone has heard in confession at one time or another, because I think it relates very much to our condition and to how we are to save our souls. This first parable was when there were two sons, and the father says, go out and work in my vineyard. And one says, I will go, and he doesn't. And the other says, I won't. And later on, he repents and he goes and works. And the question is, which one did the will of his father? And of course, the one who worked. Well, the first son that said, I will go and I don't, and he didn't go, are the Jews, who were given the law, the prophets, who were given everything necessary, and some of them. See, when we say the Jews, we are referring to really two groups of people within these Jews. Those that rejected Christ and those that accepted Him. So those that among the Jews that rejected Christ, those that did not follow, live according to the law, those are the ones that said, I will go, but they didn't go. And then the ones that said, I will not go, or had not even heard of the law, such as the Gentiles, and went, they did the will of their father. Now, this parable, the operative thing in this parable is obedience. Not perfect obedience, because the second son at first said, I'm not going to go. But then he repented and went. This is why I give this example so many times in confession. Because for all of us, there are things that it's hard to do. We know we should do good, but we don't. And sometimes we have to struggle very mightily to do what is right. And we might start off wrong, but we can always finish right. And that's why this parable, I think, applies to us so completely. And the second parable has the same sort of idea, really, of obedience. Because the Lord says, there's a certain householder who plants a vineyard. That householder is God. And he's a man. Not meaning the God-man Jesus Christ, but meaning God, the Holy Trinity, who loves mankind so much that he refers to himself as a man. Certainly, one would love mankind if they referred to themselves as mankind. He hedged it round about, this vineyard. This vineyard is the Jews, the Jewish people, given the oracles of God. And the hedge is the law and the commandments and also his protection. We see many times in the history of the Jewish people miraculous happenings when the Lord protected them, such as with the Battle of Jericho and many other times. He digged a winepress, the altar of sacrifice, and built a tower, and the tower is the temple. And he lent it out to husbandmen. And these husbandmen are the teachers of the people. They had good teachers, such as Moses. They had many bad teachers among the scribes and the Pharisees. And these husbandmen were supposed to bear fruit. They were supposed to tell the people of what is right and wrong and teach them to live a righteous life. And so, he goes into a far country. The far country can mean several things. One is, in relation to the Jewish people, there was a time when the Lord was visible to them at all times. A pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by the day. But then, times changed. They went into the promised land, and no longer was the Lord visible by day and by night. So it is as if he was far away. And also, going into a far country in the scriptures, such as with the prodigal son, and also the Samaritan, the good Samaritan, where he says, I will, when I come back, I will repay you. The Lord going away shows his patience, his long suffering for us. It seems like he's away, but of course he is not, but he is patient with us. So now the Lord of the vineyard is in the far country, expecting the husbandmen to bring forth fruits. And he sends his servants to gather those fruits. And the servants are the prophets. And so the prophets come, and they ask the fruits of the vineyard, and they are evilly treated. Some are beaten, some are slain. And this happened to many of the prophets. Isaiah was sawn in half. Zechariah, one of the latter prophets, the Lord himself told us what happened to him. He was slain. And Micah struck by on the jaw. Many other prophets were abused in many ways. Whether they were killed or not, they were horribly treated. And so the Lord of the vineyard sends more prophets, and more are treated evilly. The time of the prophets was a long period of time. And the Jews often treated the prophets very cruelly. And this is really a fundamental principle that we had better learn. If you are going to live according to the truth, not everybody is going to be nice to you. Don't expect people to reverence the truth that you live by. We can see that in our country. We can see that even more so in other countries, that when you live according to the truth, you can be treated very badly. Even in the church, when a priest or a bishop tries to get people to live in a certain way, oftentimes The people rebel greatly because they are accustomed to living their certain way that is sinful. This has happened throughout our history. And it's certainly not a Jewish phenomenon for the people to evilly treat their prophets and their teachers. It's a human principle. So we had best just not expect everything to be perfect and beautiful for us, because it won't be. So, after all of these prophets have been evilly treated, the Lord says, they will reverence my Son. And of course, the Son is the incarnation of the God-man, Jesus Christ. And He sends Him to the vineyard, and what do? They say, ah, this is the heir. Let's kill Him and seize our inheritance. That's referring to the scribes and Pharisees of that day who wanted to get rid of Christ because He was in their way. He was preaching something that they did not want to have preached. He was messing up the status quo. They liked to have the great places at feasts and to be called rabbi. They didn't want someone to be really teaching the truth, so they wanted to be rid of Him. And what did they do? According to the parable, they took that son and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him, which is exactly what happened to Christ. He was slain outside of Jerusalem. So then Christ asked the question. And by the way, the audience that He's speaking to is full of scribes and Pharisees when He is saying this parable. And absolutely, they got the message. They knew exactly who He was speaking about. And they knew that those husbandmen were them. So He asked them, and what should the master do? Well, what will he do? He will kill all of those bad vine dressers, and he will let out the vineyard to others to render the fruits in their seasons. A very important part, to render the fruits in their seasons. Because a vineyard is not meant to grow rocks and dirt. A vineyard is meant for grapes. A vineyard is meant for fruit. And the vineyard being the Jewish people, they were born to bear fruit. And since the vineyard now has been given out to others, that is, to the Gentiles and to the church, we are to bear fruit. That's the purpose of a vineyard. So the purpose of our life is to bear fruit. And of course, this fruit is not grapes, but it is sweet. It is the sweetness of the virtues, the sweetness of goodness, the sweetness of living as the God-man lived, as He showed His example to us. That is the fruit that we must bear. And if we do not do this, then we are bad husbandmen, and we will be cast out of the vineyard. We will be slain as well. Then Jesus says to them, have you not heard that the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. The stone is Christ. The builders are the Jews who rejected Him. It has become the head of the corner. It has joined together the Jews and Gentiles, all of mankind. And then the Lord says, on whomsoever shall fall upon this stone will be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. It is good to know in life that really life is simple choices. There is a choice to follow Christ or to not. There is a choice to fall upon a stone, to fall upon Christ, and to be broken, or to have Christ fall upon us, and to be ground to powder. There are only two choices. In falling upon Christ, we will be broken. That is, it's a painful process to be healed of your passions. It's not an easy process, and you will be broken. But you have to be broken so that you can be eventually fixed. The one who rejects Christ, he will be ground up. And that is a much more painful process. Now, do we see ourselves in this parable at all? It is of no use whatsoever if we read it only as something that occurred way back in time and has some historical value. This parable refers to us. the vineyard is not only to Jewish people, now it is all people that are Christian. And the altar is the body and blood of Christ, which we partake of with purpose. The purpose is to bear fruit. Actually, the purpose of everything, the hedge, the tower, the vine, the wine press, the altar, all of that is to bear fruit, to become good. We were born to be good, you know. Because if you don't become good, how can you know God who is good? So the purpose of our life is to bear fruit. And we are the people of the vineyard now. We had best be careful that we are not like these evil husbandmen. And not be so quick to say, well, I haven't killed anybody. You know, I've been a member of the church for umpteen years. I've done this, I've done that. The Lord looks in your heart. Not just the things you do or your appearances. Come on. We have our appearances which we show to the outside world. But inside, in our closet, we look a little different, don't we? God sees that inside. God sees the heart. So what the Lord is describing here, where the husband then actually did a physical act and actually killed the prophets, killed those servants that the Lord had sent, and then killed his son, of course. The Lord looks at our spiritual acts. He looks inside. He looks to see what kind of person we are, what our priorities are, what's important to us. That's how God will judge us, because He will see whether or not His image has been carefully cared for. We were made in His image, but we must become His likeness. Just as a child has the full potential to be a good human being. But we don't know exactly what's going to turn out. As parents, we do our best, and hopefully our children will turn out to be good. But everyone has the potential at the beginning, but they also have the ability to be bad. So it is with us. We're in the vineyard. Are we bearing fruit or not? Let's not be so quick to pass over this idea. The Lord gave out the vineyard to those who would render the fruits in their seasons. And your fruits are to love everyone. Your fruits are to be humble. Your fruits are to be compassionate with others. Your fruits are to pray without ceasing. Your fruits are to do all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Indeed, your fruit is to become perfect, because the Lord gave this as a commandment. And it is only possible when you're within the vineyard. There are others that are doing good things outside of the vineyard. As for them, God knows. But in the vineyard is the only place where all of the conditions are optimum for us to bear fruit. So it is up to us, and we are responsible. This parable and the parable preceding it, are about obedience to God. For the Jews, it was an external obedience. For us, we know that it is internal, that what the heart does defiles a man. Not what goes into the man, but what comes out. So our obedience has to begin with our volition, with what we value, what is important to us. At all times, we should remember that we are those that are in the vineyard, and we are to bear fruit. If we do, then God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. If not, then we will be cast out, just as those scribes and Pharisees were that rejected Christ. May God help us to fall upon this stone, and yes, to be broken, so that we can eventually become perfected in the vineyard. Amen.